Get right back into it here on a Tuesday. Shout out to all of you who celebrate. Maloney, Fesco, Mac, all of you Tuesday folks out there, for those that know, you know.
I just want to win, Jim.
That's right. Week one of the NFL season is officially kicked off. Chiefs at 7 o'clock. Woo! You can hear that game here on 96.5 The Fan. So if you've got one of those kiddos that has sports on Friday nights and you want to hear the game live, take your AirPods, headphones, whatever you take, noise canceling to the football game. Watch your kids or, you know, friend's kid play if you get dragged out there. Put 96.5 The Fan on. You can hear Mitch and Dana call the action in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Again, we're back here with football season. We'll have all the hits. Briscoe later today. Tammy Reed will join the show today. We'll have Josh Klingler later on in the week. Nate Taylor later on in the week. Mitch Holtis later on in the week. And just give you everything you need to know about football. Kansas City Chargers, as Dana said, laughingly, jokingly, better relax about what you say about those Bolts, man. They're supposed to win this division this year with a completely injured roster. But, hey, here we are once again, week one, NFL season, and it starts off Friday at 7 o'clock. But before we get into that, you got a bonehead of the week.
Bonehead of the week. And usually on a Tuesday, it's going to be somebody from the NFL world who just is a stupid head coach, which leads the thing open to just about everybody but Andy Reid. And so I was thinking about it over this weekend, and this came to my mind before I watched Bill Belichick last night. I mean, I don't know if you give the bonehead of the week to North Carolina, if you give it to their boosters, if you give it to Bill Belichick, but that situation down there in Carolina is already getting ready to dissipate big, and I can't wait to watch that thing go down. Like, when somebody's a jerk to people and you're on your way up, we've experienced this. When you're on your way up and you're a jerk to people, you're going to need people to catch you when you're on your way down, right? And when you're on your way down and you're falling and you were a jerk to everybody on the way up, ain't nobody going to be there to catch you on the way down. I don't think right now, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think right now Bill Belichick is going to have one person in the media that is going to be his defender and say, you know what, let's give Bill a chance, because for 20-some years when he was the coach of the Patriots, for all intents and purposes, he bullied the media. He bullied everybody that covered that team. And now Bill Belichick's in a situation where, A, he's looked at as a fraud. He's the emperor with no clothes. Jordan Hudson has caused a big disturbance down there. They're doing all of these documentary things. The entire NFL did not give him another opportunity. Brady won a Super Bowl without him. He stunk without Tom Brady. And then he gets off to that start. Who's going to be there to support Bill Belichick? That's why it's important when you're on your way up in life, be nice to everybody, because you will be on your way back down again. And you can either have people there ready to catch you and ready to help you, or ready to move out of the way and let you fall and just boom on the ground.
Yeah. It started off really hot last night. The Carolina Tar Heels came out, put up 7, stopped TCU. Then it was like a pick 6, and then it was a touchdown pass, and then it was a 75-yard touchdown run, and I ran faster to my bed than that kid for TCU did to blow that game out of the water. And then it was, what, 48-14 was the final score?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It looked like UNC the last 6 months spent all of their preparation on that first drive. And once that was done, it was like, we don't know what we're doing anymore. That was it. That was us.
And as Binkley sent to me earlier, North Carolina was a bowl team last year. Mm-hmm. And they fired their coach and replaced 70 players. And that's what they put out to show everybody. I kind of karma, man, when things like that happen, right? You fired a coach. You thought you could get better. You hired Bill Belichick, who's never had 1 minute of experience coaching at the head coaching level in college. And you thought you were going to be able to turn this program over to him and Mike Lombardi, another failed NFL GM. And here we sit with an absolute destruction. But my bonehead of the week has to go to that Tolbert guy who played center field the other day for the Royals. I mean, his plays late in that game yesterday, I was getting more texts from friends that were pissed off about that than anything that I've received in a while regarding the Royals, just from friends. Like, they're like, come on, man. Like, that maybe it's not Tolbert's fault. Maybe it's Q's fault for having him out there in that position. But going forward, we've got to put our best defensive team out there on the field, because that guy essentially cost the team a game on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, it's tough. You get really lucky. You kind of gain a life because of what happened yesterday with Seattle, Texas, and Cleveland all dumping their games Seattle got wiped out. I think it was like 10 to 5 or something like that. And then Texas loses and Cleveland loses. You lose two out of three to the Tigers. I know Michael Wacha wasn't his sharpest. He was good for about 4 or 5 innings, and then it kind of fell apart. You lost. This is what's weird about the weekend, and Tolbert wasn't great in center field. He shouldn't be playing center field. He should just be pinch running.
He should be a pinch runner. He should be no more than Dyson, and not even Dyson, because Dyson was a good outfielder. Who was the other guy that the Royals had that was really, really fast? And it became friends with Mike Sweeney, and Mike kind of saved him. Terrence Gore. Mm. Guys like that, like you're here for base running. You're here for late inning type stuff, pinch running. Tolbert does not need to be in the outfield. This is why I think analytics suck ass, because that was a pure look at the numbers type of move. That was not a real baseball decision. You put your best players out there regardless of what the numbers say. Tolbert playing in center field, bad.
Yeah, the thing that's crazy is that weekend against Detroit, you lost the game that had Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, and you won a game where you called up a kid that never pitched for your roster in the history of his career.
Baseball, baby.
And he goes out there and shoved on Saturday. Because, Mac, you and I were there Saturday. What a game that was, right? It's riding that awesome high of a game. Michael Garcia hits a blast. And then in the ninth inning, Tolbert did have a very big walk.
But, yes, he did. No, I'll give him that. But that's where he should be utilized.
In the eighth inning. Yeah.
Pinched hit.
I didn't like him coming in before he was on the bases, right? Like, right. He should come in to run. Well,
he pinched hit, which was a weird situation.
Was weird.
And but then he draws the walk, yep. And then Bobby hits the piss missile to center, and the whole place erupted.
But I think I am with you, though. Like, yeah, why is he pinch hitting? He should be strictly a runner.
I was like, why is he in right now?
No, there was a lot of people after the game was over, like, yeah, the walk was impressive, but the fact that they had him hitting because of the matchup, analytics.
Yes, right.
They're like, this doesn't add up to whatever. Because, like, that's the thing. That's what's tough about baseball is if you use analytics and then when you don't use them and you should be using them, everyone goes, so which one is it? Right? Like, do you use Google Maps to get where mm-hmm. you're going? But then you say, no, I don't use it because the satellites can't be trusted. And then you use them because you're like, well, I don't know where I'm at. It's like, well, which one is it? Whereas, like, he pinch hits because it's a lefty righty matchup, but now he's going to pinch hit because it's this. What? Okay. And then Bobby saves the day and the whole place erupted and everybody's awesome. Chanting Bobby. And it was one of those moments where, like, you know, I'm there with my old man and family and we're watching the game. You're there with your brothers and fiance and everybody erupted. And then Sunday it was like a wet fart.
Yeah, it really was. It was.
Tarik Skubal wasn't even like that dominated. I know, I get it. I also can't believe that he's only walked 24 batters this year, which is insane.
But you lose games with your two big dogs on the mound. Lugo was, again, I've got major questions about Seth Lugo.
I don't have
right
questions.
Now.
I know for a fact he's not healthy.
Okay, there you go.
I don't have questions.
You said it differently than I would. Meaning questions like, I can't trust that guy right now. No. I don't know that I can trust Seth Lugo in a
healthy.
Big game situation.
Either he has fatigue, he has a finger issue, he's got a bliss. He's not healthy.
No, 100%
healthy. I know that the manager was on this show, and he'll be on the show on Wednesday. We'll bring it up again. And he says, oh, he's just missing by this much. That's now 8 starts since he signed the contract. That's 7 bad starts.
He's not been good since the end of July, and that's not good going. Like, you cannot start him in game one of a playoff, right? Like, if they were able to get in and take this thing, and you've got a 3-game series and wherever, really, you're going to roll Seth Lugo out there in game one, or even Wacha, who looked a little shaky the other day as well?
Which
so,
I could see that, right? Wife gave birth to their child. Yeah. He's probably a little, but he came out hot. He looked, he was firing all cylinders, and then that lineup turned over, and it was like, oh.
Yeah.
And bases clean, triple, next channel.
But also, too, yeah, exactly. But that, but that's baseball, though. You got the no name. Look at the Royals do. Every time there's a no name, they're fine, or they lose, I mean. But when you have a known commodity, you know, that's you tend to struggle a little bit more. You have an unknown guy. You don't know what he's going to throw. He doesn't know what he's going to throw. You're just going up there and just playing baseball at that point in time. Okay. Not enough information to clog the brains of these players.
Yeah, so obviously the news over the weekend, rosters expanded. Carter Jensen gets the call up, the local kid. I believe he was like the first ever like tryout player to make the roster get actually called up to the show. And then Caglione is back as well. We'll see what happens to that lineup that comes out a little bit later tonight. But don't forget, Josh Vernier's on deck show tonight here as they play the Angels and the Twins. Two sub 500 teams. Take advantage. Go win. What do you want? You want 5 out of 6?
I'd like 5 out of 6.
Yeah, and then, 5 out of 6.
I think it's Guardians for 4 after this. I think yesterday I said at least 7 out of 10, hopefully 8 out of 10.
That'd be sick.